Okay, part two of our discussion of archaeology is with regard to Sfarim. So today we have Rambams that were actually hand-signed by the Rambam. Today we have more accurate versions of... What? We have accurate versions of the tour, and suddenly... Our whole segments of the tour, which we were missing, today we have them. So the question is, what halachic weight would archaeological finds have in this area? So we have to, even here, we have to discern. It's one thing when you go into an ancient Gniza, like the Cairo Gniza, and you find a whole bunch of works there, and you don't know who wrote what, and you don't know who copied it over. And you don't know if it's an accurate quote. So maybe the reason it was put into the Gniza is because some guy didn't copy accurately. We don't know. So if our whole source for a sefer is going to be a Gniza, we have a big problem. We have certain Sfarim. There's a Tshuva in Migros Moshe where they wrote him a letter. They said they want to publish a certain sefer of a Rishon that they found. And... Rav Moshe tells them there are quite a few things written there that are wrong. You can't publish it. So what does that mean it's wrong? It means he doesn't really believe that this Rishon wrote that. It's very nice that they found in the Gniza, and there are certain things that correspond with other quotes, but either someone who copied it over stuck in their own ideas. This was a common thing in our history, that there were people who wanted their opinions accepted, so they stuck them in different places. You have it, even in the Shas, you have a lot of the comments on the side sometimes only make it there because it was a publisher or a relative of the publisher who had that comment. So I'm not discussing the text of the Shas, but sometimes the question of whether a person got published or didn't was a question of how close he was to the hands of the publisher. There's a big discussion about whether in Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries to the right and left of Shulchan Aruch should really carry the greatest weight in halacha, because they had contemporaries who were also big Talmide Chachamim, who also wrote commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. And the question is, who decided who gets printed? You know, so you have a Magen Avraham and you have a Taz, and they're in the Shulchan Aruch. So technically everyone learns that. What about the Elyo Rabba? What about the Levush? What about other commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch? The Nachlas Tzvi, the Olas Shabbos. The Olas Shabbos was one of the earliest commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, and people don't even know he exists. His book has been out of print for almost two centuries now because it's not printed in the Shulchan Aruch. Magen Avraham and Taz got in, and everyone else basically got left by the wayside. So when going back to our question, when we find something in an archaeological dig, or when we even find a sefer archaeologically, we don't know anything about it. All we know is that someone wrote this, or someone copied this, and we don't know how accurate it is. And so there's a whole sefer that was compiled about 70 years ago, 50, 60 years ago. There was a scribe, a sofer, who wanted to argue about how we should write the tzaddik. We know there are two opinions about whether the yud in the tzaddik should be facing to the left or facing to the right. The yud that's not the center of the tzaddik, the yud that's hanging out of the tzaddik, should it be facing outward or inward towards the tzaddik? So this scribe, this sofer Stam, had a correspondence with the Chazon Ish, and he kept quoting archaeological finds. And the Chazon Ish kept answering him the same answer. That doesn't prove anything. And he kept bringing another proof and another proof. So that really lends itself to our first discussion about archaeology, where the Chazon Ish didn't feel like any of this was conclusive. But then he started quoting from books that we didn't have until recently, like the Me'iri. There are commentaries which the sages didn't have. They found them, and now they print them, and now we learn them. But they weren't around for a few centuries. And the question is, do they have halachic weight? And many are of the opinion that they do not. It's a chiddush that the Mishnah Brura gives it so much weight. But what? Okay, Chacham Avadya, but the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe, they held that works that were not present for the poskim don't have the same halachic weight, if any at all. Rav Moshe would not open the new Rambams. He learned from the old Rambams.
Even though the Rambam's signature was on the new ones, but the old ones had been censored.
Okay, so let's explain. When we look at the Rambam, there are two weights to what the Rambam writes. There is one weight that the Rambam was a genius in Torah. So the Rambam had great tradition, and the Rambam himself was a brilliant mind. So what the Rambam says has a certain halachic weight. When we deal with the Rambam today, we're dealing with a weight that's bigger than that. We're dealing with the weight the Rambam has because he was accepted in Am Yisrael for almost a millennium. And that's a totally different weight than the weight of the Rambam's own genius in Torah. Technically, the Rambam's genius in Torah, so there were other geniuses. There were Tosfos, there were others. But the Rambam got accepted with the Shulchan Aruch. And so the Rambam had that weight. The Rambams we find now don't have that weight. They have the simple weight of the Rambam being a genius Talmud Chacham. Fine. But it's a very different weight than the weight of being accepted in Am Yisrael. Yes?
Didn't the Rambam himself say that when it comes to deciding between those two, that you should go with the first one, the Hainu, take the argument and the one that seems more legitimate, not the one that is just because it's been there for a long time? He even said that. It's, you
know, show me. I know the other way. I know the Rambam saying the other way.
No,
you're saying he writes that. Let's see.
No, he writes it in the Akdama. Oh, man, but I'm just putting up the other thing.
I have a computer here.
You have to rely on the one that makes the most sense, not just because you have two versions of what the Rambam said, so you pick the one that's you know, tampered with, has been printed over, as opposed to the one where you actually signed, and this is what I said. I mean, any of us here, or those who are parents and those who want to be parents, would consider our children obnoxious if we gave explicit instructions, here's what to do, here's what I said, and to listen to a third-hand report that's already been not transmitted properly, and we would say, because this is the way I heard, I've been trying to follow what my dad said, as opposed to what I know that he actually said, I should give credence to that. That would be obnoxious if we did that to any.
I agree. If we had a goal to follow the Rambam, I'd agree with you.
No, I'm saying, but when we say, what did the Rambam say, our goal is to follow the Rambam, right?
No.
I mean,
we're not discussing what the Rambam said. Well, if our religion was about following the Rambam, I'd agree with you.
Not. But when we invoke the Rambam, we want to know what the Rambam said, not...
No,
right?
No, there are two different weights. That's what we're discussing. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah have a discussion, yeah. A machlokas, a standing machlokas throughout halacha.
Yeah.
When I have to weigh Rambam versus Tosos, who carries more halachic weight? That's a question of the mind. Who is a bigger posek?
No, it's who gives the better argument.
I don't think so.
Look,
I think the Ramah is very explicit in the Darkei Moshe that that's not the question.
Rambam standards, and the one that he shows that Chazal had is, you have to, this isn't Nachdama, you have to follow Das, you have to weigh everything. As it says, you can't, no Tugumit Nes, you can't say, use an ad hominem argument and say, well, this person is bigger, this person is not bigger. You have to give every argument its weight, and if you want to invoke what someone said, you have to actually, at least know what he actually said. You can't misquote intentionally and say, well, I have a tradition to misquote someone.
Okay, so let's start again. You're taking us to a totally different realm, which is a realm of how we decide halacha.
Isn't that what Torah is?
Right now we're trying to understand the halachic weight of archaeology. We're not discussing on a broader level how we decide halacha.
Okay.
In this form, if you want, the next discussion can be that. But for right now, when we discuss archaeologically, the fact that I can prove that all the generations had a misquote in certain halachic texts, which is true. Today we can prove that. There are certain areas in halacha where we know that the text they had, we have something more accurate. And so, and that will definitely have the weight, like you're saying, if I can really prove it. So that can have the weight of Rambam. But it's not the same weight as what we're saying now, which is Rambam that's been accepted for 600 years.
No.
It's different.
Rambam himself, if he were here, he would have to reject that because...
I didn't say the Rambam will accept what I said.
Okay, but
I'm going with the Shulchan Aruch. I'm going with the
Rambam.
I'm going with the Halacha today. That's what I said. If we were looking to seek out the Rambam, I hear what you're saying. We're not. We're looking to figure out Halacha,
which is
a conglomerate of calculations, one of which is, what did the Rambam says? But a greater question is, what did the rabbis who came after the Rambam do with the Rambam? And there, the fact that you can now throw me back 600 years and say, hey, let me give you a conversation. Let's say I had a time machine. And I could go back to the Rambam's day and ask him, hey, Rambam, how do you hold on this? You know what? That statement of the Rambam would not carry the weight of every other Rambam that's been quoted in Halacha for 600 years. Because every other Rambam, more than 600 years, 800 years, every other Rambam has the weight of the Shulchan Aruch backing him and the poskim from the Shulchan Aruch onward. So that's a much greater weight.
Oh, but all them along the line would admit that there's a fairly new thing that Hazmish lived recently, as you know, relatively speaking. They would all admit that if you were seeking to find out what someone said, then you should go with the better proof of what they said.
Agreed.
To know that people have been following what they thought was a Rambam all these years, and suddenly, because it's taken 800 years to find a mistake, now it has weight of something. But all those posts along the line, and the Shulchan Aruch himself wouldn't want us to misquote him. The Shulchan Aruch himself wouldn't want us to say, well, this is what we thought the Shulchan Aruch says for now 2 billion years. Even 2 billion years, 2,000 years, whatever number you make up, the one who said it would want his words to be represented as they are.
It's irrelevant.
No, that is the relevance. That is the utter relevance.
Well, I'm not arguing with what you're saying, that now I have the equivalent of a time machine. All I'm saying is it doesn't have that halachic weight.
And I'm saying it has more than that halachic weight, because that's what they said. And that's what they would have wanted us to do.
Why do
Kerry
say it?
The answer is really that's what Rambam said all along. Is you should give every argument, you should listen to every argument
Let's make it very simple, okay? There's Rambam who has a weight, we'll call it of 10. Then there's Rambam that's being carried down the generations that has a weight of 100. Because it's Rambam plus Shulchan Aruch plus Tur plus. Why? That's.
Why? Yes, I'm saying, how does time.
I didn't say time. I said people.
The passage of time. How does the passage of time or tradition?
I didn't say time. I'm saying people. Yes. If the Tur and the Beis Yosef and the Bach,
yeah,
and then you go on to the Shach and the Taz and the Gra and the Noda B'Yehuda, you have a conglomerate of people that are going with this opinion, then the fact that the Rambam's weight of 10 was behind that opinion is not what's relevant. The halacha is defined by the weight of what we'll call 100. Now you're telling me, but I can figure out a Rambam that has a weight of a 10. So?
So the whole model of this weight of hundreds of numbers and quantifying and whatever it is gornish. It doesn't make sense, because Rambam said this. If we want to know what Rambam says, it doesn't matter who thought when
but,
and who thought
but
what.
We don't want to know what Rambam said. That's exactly what I'm telling you.
No. Rabbi Rabinovich himself said this, and that's his father.
So I with all due respect, my tradition is different. Rav Moshe didn't know that, and the Chazon Ish didn't know that. I'm trying to explain it. Your starting point is that the starting point has to be a Rambam. My starting point is, even if it isn't a Rambam, the weight that it has is not Rambam.
No. My point is that if we want to know what someone said,
I don't. That's what I'm telling you. I don't want to know what someone said.
So what do we attach that to the Torah Shabbat all the time? Don't we want to know what was said? What did Rebbe
no.
say?
No. Mamash not.
That is
what
the Mishnah Talmud is about? Knowing who said what?
No. Mamash not.
No, okay. I guess I'm mistaken.
No. What I'm telling you now is an Amudei Arazim. It's a Rav Haigon. No. It's not. It's about understanding halachic weight. The names represent weights. They're not. The name is irrelevant. I don't need to know what Rabbi Akiva said, and it is irrelevant to me what he said. I need to know what halachic weight this opinion has. It's a broader discussion. This wasn't our point. It's becoming our point. It's not. That's not. No. That's not what the Talmud's about. The Talmud is not about deciphering, hey, what did Rebbe say? When the Talmud says Mantana, do they really care Mantana? No. According to who?
The Vilna Gaon, yeah, they do.
I think not. I think the Vilna Gaon in Kol Eliyahu says like I said. Look at the Vilna Gaon in Kol Eliyo under Klalin, under Chisurim Echser, and then tell me if he doesn't say what I just said. Let's see. Okay. Okay. So let's go back. So this is why when we want to use an archaeological find, if we uncover a writing of the Rambam's, the Chazon Ish, or of Moshe held, that's not going to carry too much halachic weight. Like Rav Grossman saying, it's the weight of Rambam's opinion. I'm not even sure they agreed to that, because I'm not sure how much they trusted the sources. But they gave it very little weight, because the major weight of an opinion, be it the Rambam or others, is the weight of the opinions that followed it, that accepted it. It's not because the Rambam was such a giant that he has such a halachic weight today. That was his weight when Rav Yosef Karo had to decide what weight to give him. Today the weight is much greater. Today the Rambam's weight is tenfold what it was in Rav Yosef Karo's time because of all the rabbis who accepted that Rambam. And if today you'll be able to show me a Rambam which no one else knew, okay, so then it has that limited weight, if that at all. If I can really prove it was him. What?
If the Rambam's so powerful, why is it just the Talmudim the Pasuk bring?
A separate question. The tangent. Later. Let's finish this. And then... okay, so that... I think that... Not, so with that, I think we've basically encompassed both topics. Now you want to know about the Murex trunculus? So apply everything we've said.